You know, and I'm not, by the way, I don't mean to cast any judgment that any board panels are doing it right or wrong. It's six factors. You know, you can pretty much come out anyway in any one of these cases. There's no real, there's never a wrong FinTiv decision. It just depends on how you weigh the factors. And, you know, there's very little guidance on how to do that. Some people have wondered, you know, well, why don't people just do Sotera stipulations all the time? I've kind of wondered about that myself. And one of the problems that does come up, for those of you who are kind of interested in the policy, is that if you do a Sotera stipulation, you're basically, you know, you're then going into the trial without any prior art. And that does affect claim construction. It allows the patent owner to be much more creative and expansive in their interpretations of the claims when they're not facing any kind of a prior art threat. And often patents and printed publications is the only thing you're going to get. That's one of the reasons why people are hesitant about doing those stipulations. But if you're willing to do it, they have been quite effective. There's also just been, you know, a liberalization of FinTiv in other ways. There have been board decisions that, for example, have made clear that instituting on other patents in the litigation will favor institutions. So if there's a bunch of patents being asserted and some are instituted, that at least under this, these two decisions has been a factor that weighs in favor of institution. Unfortunately, none of this is precedential. None of it's binding on the board. But, you know, for those of you filing these cases, these are, you know, good cases to have at your fingertips and cite. Another case held that when the petitioner and litigation defendants are unrelated, last October, we got a decision that weighs strongly against denial of institution. Again, unfortunately, this isn't precedential. And, you know, this is something where I've seen panels come out the other way. I've seen people get an IPR denied, even though they've never been sued. So you think it wouldn't be a FinTiv case, but the board cites other litigation against other unrelated parties. And, you know, that requires a FinTiv denial, one of those odd loose ends. Well, we have a more recent decision saying, look, if the other litigation defendants are unrelated, that should weigh against this FinTiv bar. And then just another example of the liberalization from earlier this year, a trial date that was scheduled 10 months before a final written decision was overcome by diligence, filing shortly after the infringement contentions were received. And this was another case where there wasn't a Sotera stipulation. So just another example of the kind of liberalization of the doctrine. Those of you who file on the petitioner side, does this mean, you know, FinTiv's gone away? I can just totally ignore it at this point? The answer there is no. You're still getting decisions where the trial is only scheduled to occur 3 or 4 months before final written decision, and you're nevertheless getting a FinTiv denial. And you'll notice two of the cases I cite here are from this year, from this January. So FinTiv is still out there, and I've had clients call, frustrated, like, what's going to happen in my case? So I told them if it's between 3 and 11 months, definitely do a Sotera if you're willing to. But otherwise, if it's between that 3 and 11 month zone, it's kind of a jump ball. FinTiv is, it's much easier to get around, much easier to work with, but it's still out there. It's just kind of dangerous and wounded, and, occasionally jumps out at these people. That's unfortunately the best I can tell you. And unfortunately, there's also the ITC. For whatever reason, FinTiv has been applied more aggressively in the ITC context than in the district court context. And there have been cases where ITC was only scheduled to finish 6 weeks before the board would, and you still got a FinTiv denial. The ITC, of course, lacks the authority to actually cancel the claims. There's no issue preclusion that applies to its decisions. Even if your ITC finding of invalidity is affirmed on appeal at the Federal Circuit, that does not stop the patent owner from continuing their litigation, and some do. Even with ITC there, we're starting to see decisions going the other way. And just last month, there was a decision where you had the ITC decision 3 months earlier, and it was overcome without using a Sotera stipulation on the grounds that there were additional claims challenged in the petition. And interestingly, in this particular decision, the board noted that it noted the argument that the petitioner advanced that, well, look, the ITC can't cancel claims, so why should we be deferring to that? The board noted that argument, but didn't specifically endorse it. So See, I'm seeing a question from Bill LaMarca. Is it true the ITC cannot stay its proceedings pending a board decision? I see it just disappeared on me. That's generally the practice. The ITC operates on a pretty rigid schedule. Frankly, ITC proceedings are regulated in a similar way to board proceedings. And, you know, you follow that schedule and they tend not to stay their cases. So those cases do tend to go forward and, you know, pretty predictably when you're going to get the various decisions. But anyway, I thought it was interesting that in this recent case, the board noted that argument, like, yeah, you know, if they don't have the authority to cancel claims, that could be significant. But it didn't endorse the argument, but it's clearly on some of these panels' minds. So what are we doing with all these policies? What does this all mean at this point, right? One interesting point about all of this that I thought was raised in a recent concurrence from Judge Crumbly was he raises the point, even if you take FINTIV on its own terms, it's all about efficiency, right? And getting to stuff faster and saving the board's resources, et cetera. And he points out, look, in a lot of these cases, you have a lot of district court litigation and ITC proceedings going on around the country. And he raised the point, wouldn't it be more efficient to take care of it in the IPR that you have now? And I think that's a fair point, one I hope the office will consider as it decides what to do with these policies. And then finally, I feel it's important to raise that, look, you know, Congress didn't create these various PTO and PTAB proceedings just because they're faster or cheaper. It also was concerned about the quality of the decision making. And I've talked about this this particular study several times in the past, but I'm going to raise it again. You know, people who have looked at this have confirmed what common sense would suggest, that